Now it's time for Half Hour to Health on 107.7 The Pulse and 107.3 WEMJ.
I shall not feel good. I feel good. Like a move in the wood.
Good morning and welcome to Half Hour to Health. I'm Dr. Stephanie from Crossroads Chiropractic with Dr. Barry Taylor, Massachusetts-based naturopath from New England Family Health Center. Good morning.
Hello there.
So you've been a guest on the show bunches of times, but we're going to turn the tables this time. You're taking over to interview me.
Okay. Let's give it a go.
All right. This is your idea.
This is my idea.
Yeah.
Because you do a lot of speaking nationally. A lot of your listeners may not know that. And, you know, you speak to businesses and medical groups and, you know, you have a very, very dedicated following of people locally that you treat. And I know that I've been learning from you and I thought it'd be a great idea for me to ask you some questions because you're always asking me questions.
I am. All right. I'm on the spot now. So I'm going to share the 10 actions that age, damage, and destroy your spine. Do you know the 10 actions that could age, damage, and destroy your spine?
10 actions that can damage and destroy your spine. Okay. Dr. Steph, would you please give us a couple of what are some of the important things you think people do that are not good for their spine?
Well, we're doing it right now.
Yeah.
We're sitting.
Okay.
Sitting is dangerous for your spine. Oh, and look, he's adjusting his posture. He's sitting up more straight. Look at that. Very impressive. So
I'm very coachable. So sitting.
Sitting.
In what way? Slumped, forward, reclining, any kind of sitting?
So first of all, any sitting whatsoever is more pressure on your lower back discs and on your spine than standing is or than laying down. So sitting itself puts more pressure on the discs. But then if you slouch forward, if you bend forward, if you're sitting crooked, that puts even more pressure on your discs.
Okay. So discs are the shock absorbers between the vertebrae. Mm-hmm. They're the collagen-like material, kind of like kneecaps and back elbows. They're the pressure absorbers between. So that's what discs are. So given that people drive, people sit at work, people, you know, that you could get a standing desk, but, you know, you stand a lot. You're a chiropractor. You're on your feet all day. But a lot of people have to sit.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the correction besides that's why they might need to get adjusted? What are better ways of sitting and worse ways of sitting?
So ideally get a standing workstation or sit to stand.
Okay.
So that you can spend more time upright than sitting.
Gotcha.
And then the next thing is if you've got to sit, so standing isn't an option for you, to get a chair that suits your frame, especially your height. So your seat should allow you to sit with a 90-degree angle at your knees and at your hips, and your feet should be flat on the floor. So if you're short like I am, that might require some shopping for a proper chair. Also, the seat that you're sitting on shouldn't be so deep that it hits you at the back of your knees. So again, if you're on the shorter side, it's hard to find a chair that isn't too long on the part that you sit on, because any kind of pressure behind your knees is going to change your circulation.
You know, I was speaking to a salesperson yesterday who drives 1,000 miles a week. I referred him to you to come in for an evaluation because he was telling me about his back. So given what you said, that I had no visual in my mind about getting a stand up when I'm driving. So when I'm sitting, I need. So tell me about what you have seen about problems with people who are in their car a lot and they commute a lot. Should they get a lumbar support? That's not good. What?
A lumbar support is helpful.
Okay.
Adjusting the seat so that, again, you're in that upright 90-degree angle at your hips and your knees. Really difficult to get into a proper ergonomic position in a car if you're not driving an SUV or a car like a minivan that has room for you to sit in a more upright position. So if your seat is reclined, it'll cause your head to come forward. We see people with neck pain, with headaches, and especially low back pain and pain that goes down the leg, sciatica, from being in the car for long periods of time with an improper seat.
Does it make a difference of how vertical, if the seat is adjustable and somebody's not going to go out and buy a van or a SUV, they have a sedan, does it make a difference? Do you have a suggestion of moving what your back leans against to be more vertical?
Absolutely.
Does that make a difference?
As much as you can. Problem comes is if you're tall, your head might actually end up touching on the ceiling, which is not ideal. Okay. So as much as you can get the back of your seat up straight so that you're at more of like almost like a dining room chair posture,
okay,
if you will.
Sitting more erect.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So that's a big one.
So sitting.
That affects
we
a lot.
We could talk about that the whole show.
Okay, number two. What's
number
another?
Number two, text neck.
Text neck.
Yeah. So looking down.
Is that
down,
a place in Texas? Text neck?
Text neck. I bet there's a lot of people texting in Texas.
Okay.
But text neck. Your head looking down at your palms with a phone in it.
When
forward
your chin,
flexion of
your
neck.
Chin is down near your sternum, down near your breastplate. And you don't realize your eyes are not looking ahead and how many minutes slash, oh my good, could it be an hour or two a day because people are looking down so much. So what does that do, Dr. Steph, to the cervical neck?
That puts pressure on the discs and it can also stretch the ligaments that are along the back of the spine that hold the shape of the spine. So you can damage the normal cervical lordosis by having your head looking forward all the time.
I don't know what lordosis means.
Forward curve. So when you look at your spine from the side, you should have a forward curve in your neck shaped like a banana.
Okay.
You should measure about 35 degrees. But when you're looking down, that straightens that curve or even reverses it. And if you're in that position for long periods of time, it can permanently reverse that curve, which will make you more likely to get arthritis, degenerative disc disease, pain that goes down the arm, numbness or tingling in your fingertips, or headaches.
So for people who are texting a lot, whether they've got teenagers or maybe they're in their 40s and 50s and they text a lot, I don't know, what symptoms might they have before things, you know, get really acute?
They might not even feel anything initially.
Okay.
They say that having your head flexed forward, so looking down at a 60-degree angle, is as much as 60 pounds, like having a large toddler sitting on your head. So looking down biomechanically, so it changes the way weight's dispersed through the spine. And it's like having a small child sitting on your head.
Wow.
Yeah, to your discs. Yeah. So just holding that phone up in front of you rather than bending your head down to look at it could save you a lot in the future.
Right. Is torque the right word? That when you have your eyes more pointed 45 degrees, you know, out in front of you because you're texting, that it pulls on your spine, it torques. It's
shear or compression would be better terms.
It compresses.
Yeah.
It's pulling.
Yeah. Vertical compression.
What's the third action that we unconscious people do that gets people into your office and they don't realize it?
Not
sitting,
drinking enough
texting,
water.
Sitting, texting, and getting, well,
dehydration.
It's a big one for my patients too. You know, what are you, 75% to 80%, 78% water. People really do not even close, drink enough. How does that affect cervical, thoracic, lumbar spine?
Those discs that we've been talking so much about, they have water content.
Oh.
And if you're not drinking enough water, then you're not properly rehydrating your discs on a daily basis. So think dried and cracked rather than plump and
full,
cushy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So dehydrated. Drink a lot of water.
What's four?
Four, eating sugar. Did you know that eating sugar can affect your joints?
How
you
so?
You know that.
Well, I know it from a naturopathic point of view, but how do you relate to it from a chiropractic point of view?
Well, from a chiropractic point of view, it's, again, what is eating the sugar doing to your joints?
Okay.
So sugary foods increase the reactive protein levels, so cause inflammation, bottom line. If you're carrying around extra stomach fat increases inflammatory proteins and hormones. So again, glycation, which, I mean, this is an all over the head kind of conversation, but sugar bonds to proteins and it speeds up your aging process is the bottom line of that. So sugar's speeding up the aging process of those discs and those cushions and that cartilage in the joints.
Okay. So let me tell you what I hear, because I'm thinking like some of your listeners that have no clue what glycation is, because I don't know what glycation. No, I'm kidding. So from a naturopathic point of view, white sugar robs the body of calcium.
Mm-hmm.
From a naturopathic point of view, white sugar causes the body to be more acidic. And acidity is related to inflammatory processes. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is that you might see people more in your office who have spine neck problems because sugar is related to an extra 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds. They don't have to be obese. They could just that extra 10 pounds.
Extra weight is another part of it.
It's a big one.
And so is those chronic tight contracted muscles. So when magnesium is out of balance, you might not have the proper contraction and then relaxation of muscles. So when your skeletal muscles are tight, causing subluxations.
Right. And magnesium's magnesium's in anything green, anything chlorophyll. The center of the molecule of a chlorophyll molecule is magnesium. So you're not going to get much magnesium in lettuce, but you're going to get a lot of magnesium in kale and chard and spinach. So we had sitting, we have texting, we've got dehydrating, not drinking enough. Mm-hmm. Four was sugar.
Sugar.
And before we take a break, isn't that great that I get to, I know we need to take a break soon. So squeeze in, what's the fifth one, Dr. Steph?
Inactivity. Being inactive is unhealthy for your spine.
How so?
Gosh, isn't that just a no-brainer? If you're not moving your joints, you're not getting fluid flow, you're not getting blood flow, your proprioception, those mechanoreceptors that are in your joints that feed messages to your brain because your body's moving, it's just not happening because you're sitting there.
Right.
Sitting is so not good for you.
So the way I would speak, but tell me whether this resonates for you, is we've got bones in our body, and then we've got tendons and ligaments. Tendons and ligaments are what attach our bones to muscles or places. So with less activity, being more of a couch potato, just driving, just going to work, just sitting, maybe you're just standing. Standing doesn't mean you're moving. But you're talking about less movement. Then the ligaments and tendons, those are the part, the names that we call certain tissues that will attach vertebrae to muscles or vertebrae, you know, you got a muscle on either side of the spine, right? The erectile spinal muscle. So by inactivity, you have, would you say hardening of the elasticity? Would you say it gets more contracted like a tight mm-hmm. muscle? Mm-hmm. You get a tight ligament and tendon. Like I can say, boy, I was born with really tight hamstrings, right? So all of that inactivity has enormous effects on why people get headaches or backaches or neck aches because they're just not moving.
Yes. So important to take your spine through a full range of motion in the day, actually all of your joints.
Stretch.
Stretching is really important. We offer some free stretching classes at Crossroads if you're feeling like you don't know how to do that. Again, I feel like that's basic 101 gym class, but you know, it's been a long time since a lot of us have been in gym class. So
it has been. So that was the top tips from Dr. Steph, and I'm going to throw it back to Dr. Steph so she can take us into a commercial break.
Yeah, we do need to take a break.
Go for it.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on Half Hour to Health on WEMJ and WTPL.